This morning, I'd like you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We'll be back in Jeremiah next week. Beginning in verse 13, let's hear the word of God. Now behold, two of them were traveling that day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning as we are once again privileged to open your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how was your week? Well, I don't know. It's busy, you know. It's the same stuff that goes on all the time, right? I know I get to this point every year, and I just can't help but go back and reflect. What was the week that Christ just endured like? Because at the beginning of the week, he comes in to Jerusalem to accolades. He's got a whole crowd of people lining the streets, waving palm branches at him, throwing their coats down so a donkey can walk on them. And they're declaring the Lord to be king of the Jews. And it's only just a few days later, those same people who are crying out the accolades to the king, they're saying, "Hey, crucify this guy. What's he even, you know, breathing our air for? We've got to get rid of him. He's a heretic. We've got to be rid of this guy." Jesus has undergone some of the worst suffering ever known to men. In fact, greater suffering than has been known to men, because Jesus experienced the wrath of his Father. However brief it was, he experienced his Father's wrath. Now we know that Jesus had more than 12 disciples. He had a lot of disciples. Christ had a lot of followers. There were people who would gather on the side of hills to listen to Jesus teach, who declared themselves to be disciples. They were followers of Christ. Now, he only had 12 that were appointed for a greater service. There were 12. One would be a betrayer, but the other 11 would go on to become apostles, and a few of them would be given the privilege of recording the scriptures. But there were plenty of disciples that followed Christ. One of those, we're told, was a fellow by the name of Cleopas. Now, who is Cleopas? Who is this guy? He's walking along with some other guy that the scriptures don't tell us who he is. It's just Cleopas and another guy. Imagine in recorded scripture that your name is recorded, but the guy that you're with, not so much. He's not there. Not to say the guy wasn't important, but he wasn't important to the story. So his name was not recorded. Anyway, he's walking along with this unnamed fellow. And while they're walking, the scriptures tell us that they're talking to each other about the things that have gone on over the last week. Particularly, you know, what happened to the man who declared himself to be the Christ. Now, really, that's not so unusual. You know, a big thing happens. You're involved in a car wreck. It's not unusual for you to be talking about that car wreck to somebody in a day or two or a week, whatever it is. These fellas had just endured an event that had historic ramifications. And they're talking to each other about it. They're just going along, walking along, because they missed the last taxi of the day. And they had to walk home, 7 miles home. Okay? They're walking 7 miles home. That gives you plenty of time to talk. I mean, some people will be talked out by the time you get to the half-mile point. Other people at the end of the 7 miles are just getting warmed up. But these two guys are engaged in some deep conversation over what has occurred. And as they walk, their conversation actually grows deeper. And it gets to the point with every step where they're engrossed in that conversation with each other. They don't recognize the fact that they've been joined while they're walking. There's another man that's come along while they're there. They didn't say much. They looked back. They saw him. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who this fellow was, but apparently he was going to Emmaus too, or at least he was going that direction, so they were all sharing the same road. And as they're walking, Christ interjects himself into their conversation. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come up on a couple having a conversation and decided to stick in your 2 cents? So, sometimes that's not welcome. I can tell you I've done it. And after I've done it, I realized that was not a smart thing to do. But these folks, these two guys are engaged in this conversation. Jesus comes up and joins them. They don't know who he is. And he jumps into the conversation. Okay. Figured, well, hey, you know, if I'm going to come along with you guys, I just want to belong. I want to be a part, right? Yeah, maybe. He says to them, what are you guys talking about? What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Clearly, the conversation that you're having has some importance, because it's taking all of your attention. And the result of this conversation is, in fact, that you are sad. There's some heaviness that's associated with this conversation. Well, Jesus knew full well what they were talking about. His question is only to open a door. It's important for us to understand that. You can open all kinds of doors by asking questions. You can get some slammed in your face if you ask the wrong ones. But by asking questions, you can open the door. Hey, you know, I see you're feeling better today. Yeah, yeah. Well, see, isn't God good to you? Wasn't God good to you in that? Well, I don't know. Well, it had to be. And see, your conversation goes on. Jesus asked these guys, what are you talking about? And Cleopas says, hey, y'all ain't from around here, are you? You just must be new to town. You haven't seen the paper lately. It's been a banner week over at the Tribune. They've had 80-point headlines every day. And they said, don't you know the things that have been going on? Don't you understand what's been happening? And Jesus plays with them. He says, what things? We are blessed because we have the word here, and we can read the account. We can look back and see what was going on, what happened. These guys were living it. Jesus says to them, hey, what kind of things? What's going on? Cleopas says, well, you know, things about Jesus of Nazareth. You know Jesus? They were talking about the things concerning those events around his execution. Who they held responsible for putting him to death. And it wasn't Rome. They didn't hold Rome responsible, though it was Roman soldiers that drove nails. They didn't hold Rome responsible. They talked about their hope, because it was their hope that this man was going to redeem the nation. We had such longing. We had such belief that this teacher from Galilee was actually going to ascend to the throne in Jerusalem. That he was going to drive out the Roman oppressor. That he was going to reestablish proper worship in the land. We had such high hope. We had hopes that maybe we would be a part of that kingdom. That somehow, some way, we would be part of the staff. Part of the ruling authority in the nation. We had some hopes. But today it seems that those hopes are gone. They've been crushed. Because you see, he died. They put him to death. They beat him mercilessly. He hung on a cross for 6 hours. And now he's been in a tomb. 3 days now. Now, sure, you know, if he'd only been dead for a day, maybe two, maybe a miracle could have occurred. Maybe something could have happened. He could have got back up and all of our hopes could have been realized. Excuse me. But no, this is the third day. And he's dead. But we're still troubled. Because we were given some news this morning. You know how things are handled. Yeah, in our day, someone passes away, and there's an event that occurs at a funeral home or a church building, whatever, and we all gather around, pay our respects, sort of thing, and we go on our way. In this time, as we talked about, you know, when people died in Israel, They weren't mummified like they mummified them in Egypt, but they were wrapped in burial cloths, and between layers of cloth would be spices and herbs that were basically just to keep the stench down as the body was decaying. And that's the way it was done. And it was done initially when the body went into the tomb. And these ladies this morning, they were going back to re-anoint the body. They were going in because they loved Jesus. And yeah, he was gone, but they still wanted to attend to him. They still wanted to care for him. They wanted to be servants. And you remember their whole conversation on the way to the cemetery was, how's that stone going to get moved? That was a big, heavy stone. And they get there, and the stone's already moved. And that freaks them out a little bit. And they go over and they go into the tomb and there's nobody there. It's empty. Well, word of that got out. That don't happen every day. You don't go to the cemeteries and find empty graves every day. But they did. And they passed that word along. Now they added a little something to the story because, see, they said, you know, some angels told us that he was risen. He got up. He's alive now. But they didn't really believe it. They didn't believe it. Fact of the matter is they couldn't grasp the idea. Even though Jesus had told them for 3.5 years he was going to die and then he would raise again. They missed the teaching. It wasn't a new one. They didn't turn on Christian broadcasting one night and get the latest. Hey, here's the latest. The man that got buried said he's going to rise again. No, Jesus told him himself, I'm going to rise again. It was part of the teaching that went on. But they didn't believe it. And they had sunk into a bit of despair. It's really kind of important to understand, especially when we have trials of our own. And we seem, and it seems to us sometimes, that they're a little overwhelming. And we find ourselves drifting back into despair. We have to remember that Jesus conquered death. He conquered whatever it is you're going through. Now, the women, they had a hard time believing what the angels told them. Cleopas and this other guy, they had some hard times understanding it. But Christ's own men, the 11 disciples hiding out back in Jerusalem, they didn't believe him. God, listen. They were selected to be apostles. Hand-picked by Jesus to be taught and who in turn be ministers. At this point, they don't believe it. They don't believe that Jesus is alive. How could it be? Well, Jesus, as he's walking along the road with these guys, chides them a little bit. How's it going to be if you are one of these people walking along sincerely upset over the events of the last few days. A guy that you don't recognize comes up with you, sticks himself into your conversation, and now calls you names. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You biblical illiterate dunces. Morons of the first degree. I'm not taking him to McDonald's. Who is this guy? Who comes up and starts talking to us like this? It kind of sets him back a little bit. These guys were not ignorant. They had read the prophets. They had been taught by the rabbis. They knew what their history was. They had an understanding of who Messiah was going to be, I mean, what Messiah was going to be. But they weren't getting it. They saw in their research the glory. They saw the victory of Messiah. But they missed that those attributes would be obtained through suffering. They missed that Messiah was going to die. They missed that Messiah, even though Isaiah told them plainly in Isaiah 53 what was going to go on, they didn't get it. But Jesus is merciful. Jesus is gracious. And rather than letting these guys continue on in their ignorance, he takes the time as they walk to expound the scriptures. He takes the time to explain it to them. Sometimes we need things explained to us, you know? I think me more than most sometimes. I got to have stuff explained, and sometimes two or three times. I don't quite get it all the time. But Jesus is gracious. And as they walk along, he starts to teach them. And they're enjoying the teaching. See, it's not a typical Sunday morning service where people say, man, I wish he'd shut up because I know dinner's cooking and like that. It wasn't like that. You know, I hear the stories of the Puritans and how they would sit in church for like 3 hours at a time. And the impression that we're given is that they were really holy people. I think they had callous backsides. Personally. Because people are what people are. And people, if I told you we're going to have a special meeting, and y'all are going to be sitting here at least 3 hours, don't plan on going anywhere, and don't bring a coffee. And you said, no coffee. Yeah, oh, I can't go there. I wouldn't get it. But these guys, see, the difference is, are you feeling like you're being forced to do something? Or is your heart open because you hunger for the truth? These guys were hungry. They had a 7-mile walk in front of them. And they were going to take full advantage of it since this fellow that they didn't know interjected himself into their conversation. But he was excellent at expounding the scriptures, and they were enjoying it. They were taking it in. And as they're walking, they finally get close to home. It says they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated, he acted like he was going to go on further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. They did not want Jesus to go. Be honest with yourself. Don't say out loud. Be honest with yourself. Are there times in your day where you feel like you've just had enough Jesus? Are there times when you just say, you know, Lord, I appreciate you. I need you in those trying times, those serious moments. But can we just turn it off for a while? Haven't we had enough church for one day? People do that because people still struggle with a sin nature. There's a sin nature that keeps battling against that. But we can never have too much Jesus. These guys are not about to let him go. Come on in. They constrained him. They strongly urged him to come on in and spend the night. Because you come in, you sit around a dinner table, what do? You talk some more. That's what you do. Cleopas was a good host. Had a meal made. Now, I don't know what time it was that they were getting home. But you know it was late in the day. They just walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Let's say you work for Cleopas. You know, you think your work's done for the day. And he walks in the house and says, "Hey, I need you to make a meal." Well, if you're a good servant, you don't backtalk. You just do it. And that's what they did. And while the meal is being prepared, there's still opportunity for some talk. There's some opportunity for teaching. There's some things that are going on. And finally, the meal is brought in and sat before them. "Are you hungry?" "Oh, yeah, you just can't wait to start, on whatever it is that's set in front of you. Unless, of course, it's a big bowl of Brussels sprouts, and then, here, you have mine," you know, that kind of thing. They sat down, they have the meal set before them, and they say to Jesus, would you do the honor of saying the blessing over our meal?" And Jesus doesn't turn it down. Jesus happily takes the bread and breaks it. And when he does that, their eyes are opened. They know who it is who sits with them. And the scriptures tell us that as soon as they knew, he was gone. Their eyes were open. They knew him. And he vanished from their sight. What a mean trick! I'm going to have dinner with the Lord and he leaves? But it gave them time to consider. It gave them time to think even more on their journey home. They knew it was the Lord. And they turned to each other. And they didn't question their sanity. A guy is sitting there and all of a sudden he's not there. It's like, you saw that, right? Yeah, it was, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, he was really here. They didn't question their sanity. They were remorseful that he was gone. They were being taught the scriptures by Jesus. It don't get better than that. Jesus was answering their questions as they walked, as they sat around the table. And it's say, well, what about this part? And Jesus would say, well, it's about me. What about that part? Well, it's about me. And it's like, wow. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us? Is that your reaction to studying the scriptures? Does it cause you to become more hungry? To want more? How long has it been since you really hungered and thirsted for the Word of God? And when you're blessed, when you find that moment where you can just indulge yourself, do you find that it ends too soon? Lord, teach me more. Feed me more. I need more of you in my life. That's where these guys were. And they were just overwhelmed at the thought. And after having made that 7-mile journey home, they said, oh, you know what? We can't sit on this. You know what? This is too good. We can't wait till tomorrow. They jumped back up, threw their sandals back on, and hit the road back to Jerusalem for another 7-mile trek, because they were going to testify to the disciples that they'd been with Jesus. Do you do that? Do you testify to anybody that you've been with Jesus? That Jesus has been ministering to you through the Word? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Would you rather not mention Jesus in your conversation? Or is there any way that people can stop you from mentioning Jesus in your conversation? These guys were going back. Whatever despair they'd allowed themselves to sink into was gone now. Hope was restored. They had been with the living Christ. And they were going back to testify to that. The hope of these men is the same hope that we share. It's Christ. It's not a thing. It's not a concept. It's not an idea. Our hope is a person, the person of Jesus. Let's pray.